Welcome. We're all sitting here together in Lakshmanjula, Rishikesh, Uttaranchal, India. And the conversation that we're having here is something that is a benefit to all of us, but it is also a conversation that is greatly beneficial to all beings. All of the teachings that will be given during the time that we're here in India, from 10 to 5 each day through the beginning of April, will be recorded, and all of these recordings will be available as free downloads on our website. So feel free at any time to download the talks and also to share them with other people. I wanted to mention this right away because it's through our presence here today that many, many people will hear these talks and will benefit by them. Now, some of you know me, and others I'm just meeting, but I only have one message, and that is stop seeking. Stop seeking. There is no search to be undertaken. Everything that there is to be known or realized is already known and realized. And that super complete, superbly helpful nature of the order of everything lives as your own awareness. It doesn't live as anything else. So it's in the beginning of the Great Freedom Teaching that awareness is realized, not somewhere off in the future. There's no destination and there's no one going there. All there is stainless, flawless, ever-present awareness. And in that awareness, everything is perfect all at once. No matter what we may have learned about the way things are, I can guarantee you that everything is perfect all at once. And if you will simply listen to the instructions that are given, relax your body and mind completely, rest naturally in awareness for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes automatic, it will become more and more obvious that everything is perfect all at once, that there are no adjustments that need to be made. The idea that adjustments need to be made are fictions. Whatever we have that appears within the all-encompassing pure view of our awareness is pure in and of itself. And even if we have learned that all of the points of view that appear within the all-encompassing pure view of awareness, if we've learned that they're positive, negative, or neutral, that's all made up. It's all made up. All labels, all words, all descriptions exist as a single expanse of equalness, as a single expanse of evenness, in which there has never been anything that is uneven or not equal. This expanse of evenness and equalness is love, wisdom, and energy. And this is the natural state of every human being, known only in our own awareness. That's all. And this awareness, this flawless, stainless awareness, is one awareness. It's not 7 billion different awarenesses or countless different awarenesses. It's one awareness. So when we rest naturally in the awareness that is the basis of everything, we feel that always already connectedness with everyone and everything. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to read any books about it. We simply rest repeatedly until it becomes automatic at all times. And if you don't want to rest, that's fine with me too. Some people just show up and conviction dawns. And neither way is better than the other. They're all perfect, whatever they are. Now, this may sound too easy, but what already is super complete in and of itself. It has to be easy, right? How could it possibly be difficult? What already is, how could that be difficult to access? What could possibly be required to get what already is? It's just like trying to get your skin. You don't have to try to get the skin on your body, it already is. The super completeness of awareness in and of itself and the points of view that appear within it are like air and a breeze blowing through it. Both are air. There's never been any separation or division. It's impossible to say where the breeze began, where its middle is, and where its end is. So no matter what appears within awareness, whether it's a thought, an emotion, or an experience, it's never been anything other than the basic space of awareness. And it is completely non-threatening. It is a support for resting in awareness and nothing else. The idea of being threatened by the contents of awareness is just a habit. That's all that it is. One moment of resting in awareness with a point of view that's been troublesome within that awareness is very convincing. Very, very convincing. So just like a scientist, you can test what I'm saying in yourself. Awareness isn't a thing. It's just that, which is complete relief. Complete relief. Found in relaxing body and mind completely. Just as though you've had a hard day with many tasks and you've been very busy doing all kinds of things, running hither and yon, getting all this doing done, and finally it's the end of the day, you've worked 18 hours in a row, and you get home and jump in a nice warm shower and then go sit on the edge of your bed and just go, phew. That's what it means to relax body and mind completely. That's all awareness is. It's that. It's just complete in itself. It doesn't matter whether there are thoughts or not. If all thoughts are awareness, why would it matter to have thoughts? All emotions are awareness, why would it matter to have emotions or experiences of any kind? When we rest naturally in awareness for short moments, repeated many times, it becomes obvious that all the contents of awareness, whether we judge them as positive, negative, or neutral, are absolutely equal. And the only way we can come to that conclusion is in our own experience. We can't come to it any other way. Perhaps it'll come instantaneously, and perhaps it'll come gradually. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Beyond the arena of intellectual speculation entirely is the super completeness of that which already is compassionate and wise. None of these good qualities we seek can be cultivated or developed. we can neutralize certain points of view and try to cultivate good qualities. But the super complete qualities of wisdom and compassion are already present. They're already present in our own awareness. And we recognize their benefits simply in resting in awareness, no matter what appears. No matter what appears. Otherwise, we spend our entire life living on an island of gold and not even recognizing it. Just in that one moment of natural rest, we see everything as it is. Now, with what appears in awareness, we only have four choices, so there are really only four teachings in terms of what to do about what appears in awareness. Welcome, Gaye. One is we can indulge it. So a point of view comes up, say anger. And we can indulge it, and maybe we've had a habit of doing this. So this is what we've learned. We've been taught this somehow. And when we get angry, we indulge it. That's just what we do. It's our thing. The second way to handle what appears is to renounce it or avoid it. So the anger comes up, and we renounce it. We go, no, we don't want to have anything to do with that. We're going to avoid it like the plague. So we're just not going to go there, and we're going to steel ourselves and not get angry. The third approach is to replace the negative state with a positive state. We get angry, and instead we are going to cultivate other positive points of view, like happiness or compassion or whatever it is. Now, all three of those approaches require that there be a doer, someone who is doing something to try to manage, manipulate, analyze, or transform whatever appears in awareness. And that's a lot of work. When we approach life in that way, we take on a machine-like quality. We're like living machines, flesh machines, and we're always sorting out all of our appearances within awareness. We're trying to get more positive points of view and less negative points of view. We want a huge pile of positive points of view and a tiny pile or no pile of negative points of view. That can never be done. Has anyone here been able to do it? You see, it's fruitless. It's absolutely fruitless. It leads to aging, exhaustion, and everything leads to death, if you didn't know that. So now there's a point of view for you, death. Well, you see, when we rest in awareness and the super completeness of everything as it is, then we become comfortable no matter what is appearing. We feel an innate well-being, an inherent relaxation, an alertness in all experience, a complete perceptual openness in all experience, no matter what is occurring. And then when we die, we carry that familiarity with awareness to our deathbed. We're able to just completely relax rather than to be confronted with something that could be unspeakably difficult. When we die, we have all kinds of points of view that we've never had before. So any appearances we have in our mind now, the appearances in our mind at death will be unlike anything going on now. Because we're relying on our senses to navigate and on our thoughts and emotions and all these things. But when we die, all of these things shut down one by one, so we're not able to think. So if we've been indulging, renouncing, or replacing the points of view that appear with positive points of view, we don't any longer have the mental energy to do that. We can't rely on those supports. Now, the fourth approach to points of view is what we're talking about here today, and that is from flawless awareness, see all as flawless awareness until all is flawless awareness. All. And if you believe there's something that isn't included in that all, it's going to visit you. No matter what it is. And the more you rest in awareness, the super completeness of awareness, in the direct encounter with all points of view, the more subtle the points of view will become. You'll start to notice a whole world you never knew existed. And just how much dependence there has been on points of view of all kinds. Awareness is not dependent on anything. And many of us, we believe that awareness is dependent on our human life. This is what we've been taught, and whether we think about it or not, it's what we really believe, that somehow we generated awareness within ourselves. Awareness is inseparable from the vast expanse of space. It's space itself that is aware. There's never been a human being anywhere. There isn't any human being now, nor will there ever be a human being that has generated their own awareness. The human body is not an awareness factory. It's not something that fabricates anything. Awareness is that by which all is known. No matter what it is. So our awareness of being naturally present is located in awareness and nothing else. Every single thing we experience, whether it's a thought, an emotion, something we feel is inside us or outside us, all that is known via awareness. And it wouldn't be without awareness. When we rest in awareness, that is what becomes more obvious. Moment by moment, it becomes more obvious. It is the most powerful of approaches to human living. There's no other approach that is more powerful. We start out with the desire to benefit ourselves through resting in awareness. And through that practice of self-benefit, that training in self-benefit that comes with resting in awareness, we are so convinced of its benefit that what started out as self-benefit always naturally opens up to the benefit of others without trying to do anything. And this is the bedrock of compassion. When we have complete ease, complete perceptual openness in all experience, all of our own experiences, especially the negative ones, then we throw open the floodgates of compassion. We throw open the floodgates of inherent compassion for ourselves. And when that happens, it instantaneously is what we feel for everyone else, and increasingly. Any awareness that is recognized today continually intensifies throughout life. There's nowhere to get to. There's absolutely nowhere to get to. So please don't seek for a destination of whatever it is. I won't call it anything, okay? We'll just spare ourselves any labels that are unnecessary. What we can know is that any label we use or might describe, it's rooted in our awareness. So why not start at the root rather than try to fabricate and compound all kinds of labels and descriptions to come up with something. When we rest in awareness for short moments, repeated many times, it's like a dimmer switch. Have you ever had a dimmer switch in your house or used one somewhere else? And you can either turn up the light gradually or turn it up all at once. Resting in awareness is like a dimmer switch, except it's an endless dimmer switch. The longer you live, the brighter the awareness is. The blaze of awareness just grows brighter and brighter. And all hindrances that might come up in terms of any points of view, negative points of view, other afflictive states, more and more they're outshone just by that awareness. So awareness overcomes all points of view. Just like the roar of the lion, the majesty of that roar, it quiets everything in the jungle, savanna, or wherever the lion is. Everything settles down because everyone is in awe of the lion. And awareness is like this. It's the ease of exhausting faults and perfecting qualities. Most of us learn we have to work diligently to perfect qualities. Qualities are perfected naturally by resting in awareness because all qualities are already present. There's no way to get them. Not the qualities of tremendously potent benefit. Not the great exaltation body of wisdom awareness. The speech, mind, qualities, and activities that are of superb benefit. Those are already present. They can never be cooked up. They're completely inseparable from awareness, so why look anywhere else for them? There's a lot of interest, particularly in this land where we're either visiting or living right now, India, in displays of these tremendous powers. Powers that are completely beyond all conception. All of those powers, no matter what they are inseparable from awareness. And the purpose of all of them has always been only one thing, and that's immense benefit. It's the only purpose. So whether we rest in awareness for self-benefit in the beginning, even if we have no interest whatsoever in benefiting anyone else, at some point we're going to start to feel that way. It's just the way it is. We're naturally compassionate. So even if you started out your day growling today, it doesn't matter. You're naturally compassionate. And the more you rest in awareness, the growl will just dissolve in and of itself without you doing anything to try to make that happen. In resting in awareness, there is no doer. is absolutely no doer, or anything to be done. There's wisdom aware and awareness and its own appearance. So no matter what it appears, it is an ally. It's not a foe. But the idea that it may be a foe is just something that is learned. It's a product of family, a product of culture. Resting in awareness is like the following illustration. Say there's a forest of trees, and they're all point of view trees. All the trees in the forest are point of view trees. And they emit a foul smell, and it pervades the air everywhere. All you can smell is the foul smelling point of view trees. But in the middle of the same forest, there are roots underneath the ground that haven't sprouted yet. And when the roots of this tree sprout, there is a fragrance that is so beautiful, so engulfing, so all-encompassing that it completely pervades all the other trees and they become sweet-smelling. This is like resting in awareness. It overcomes all obstacles. So anything that you may have tried to change, fix, analyze, get rid of, deny, admit, whatever you've been trying to do with it, just rest in awareness, and whatever that is will naturally settle out. There is no other practice that is more powerful. It's the practice that isn't even a practice. It's simply an acknowledgement of the natural state. It's the greatest kindness one can ever give oneself. Resting naturally is like a very special musical instrument. So we've had a musical instrument and it has many strings and or keys, and then we, with the strings or keys, we put a lot of notes together and play a piece of music. But suppose we find a musical instrument that is so amazing that we just play one string or we touch one key, and every melody that has ever been comes forth. This is like resting in awareness. Are there any questions that anyone would like to ask? Don't worry about anything like being rude, or especially ask me your question if you feel like you're going to be rude.
I understand that it's a great quality, yet at the time you seem to be pointing that some people can be more resting. You can become more familiar with awareness. The longer you live, the more brighter. So that kind of might take the quality away to some degree for me. But that's understanding that.
Oh, that's okay. Just don't think about it. Awareness doesn't do anything. It doesn't intensify. It never went anywhere. It doesn't change at all. It doesn't modulate or go up or down or this way or that way. By resting in awareness, and you already know this, every day there's more of an intensification of that. It's more obvious to you in all your perceptions. Now, you don't even have to call it anything or say that it intensifies or anything else. To talk about it in a simple human way, life gets better and better. That's it. And instead of being all wrapped up in ourselves, we're more and more beneficial to other people. So we have the ordinary body, speech, mind, qualities, and activities, and we have wisdom body, speech, mind, qualities, and activities, and all of them are right in here. They aren't anywhere else. And so within us, we have the capacity as well as the ability to either live a very ordinary life locked inside a box of conventional perceptions, or we have the opportunity to get to know ourselves as the wisdom body, speech, mind, qualities, and activities. Now, usually with the ordinary mind, what does the ordinary body do, for example? Well, the ordinary body we think of as this skin mind, this biological mechanism, this flesh and blood entity. That's the ordinary body. And the ordinary mind is the mind that has all the thoughts and emotions related to all the experiences of this individual biological mechanism. And the speech of that individual biological mechanism is all about getting things that individual needs to feel comfortable and fulfilled. So whether it's the mind and speech are working together and within the body to feel satisfied and fulfilled through food, money, sex, work, relationships, whatever it might be. But what we soon realize, especially if we end up in a room like this, is that all of those things never lead to fulfillment. Not with any of them, because no matter what it is, food, money, sex, work, relationships, we never have enough of them, and they're never of the right kind. You know, so we don't. I know all this from my own experience. And then the qualities and activities of our life then, like I said earlier, they become machine-like. We're just always in the grind of trying to get more of these things. Good thoughts, good food, more money, better sex or no sex or, you know, whatever it is. And when we do so, we're never familiar at all with the truly exalted nature of our own being. So the true nature of our own being, and I do not say this lightly, is exalted. I'm not just pandering to anyone or anything like that. I know that this is the case, not only from my own life, but from the lives of many other people I've known over the last 25 years. You see, the wisdom body, it's not this. It includes this, but it's not this. The wisdom body is an inconceivably sublime reality that is pure like infinite space. Within it, everything is perfect all at once. That's the wisdom body. That's the true body of everyone. So that's what we gain familiarity with. And the wisdom mind, rather than being processes that are all wrapped up in seeking individual fulfillment, the wisdom mind is completely at ease and completely wise, completely compassionate, beyond words and concepts. Includes thinking, but does not rely on thinking. Relies only on the spontaneity of its own suchness. And wisdom speech is courageous eloquence. Courageous eloquence that doesn't need any conventional input. In other words, it tells it like it is. With no need to argue or debate. Nothing to prove. Nothing to compete with. Just complete in itself. And the qualities and activities of the wisdom body, speech, and mind are qualities and activities that are of potent benefit. Potent benefit to all beings. No matter who we are, and no matter how much we've already contributed in gaining familiarity with the wisdom nature of our own being, we unleash a power of benefit that is truly extraordinary. And all of this is found in resting naturally in awareness. It's guaranteed. What already is, that's a guarantee, isn't it? There's no pecking order in awareness. There's no hierarchy of any kind. Awareness has never been owned by anyone. It's never been owned by institutions, people, especially historical figures. No one has a claim on awareness. They're doling it out. In awareness, there's no higher or lower. No this way and that way. Awareness in its super completeness and superb helpfulness is entirely loving and kind. Even in its wrathfulness, it's loving and kind. Sometimes when we want to know more about the nature of our own being, we tend to go for information to sources that are somewhat like the way we've already been living. So usually we've been living in such a way that our life is a self-improvement project. You know, like on the weekend, we're going to go out in the yard and plant a few flowers or pound some nails to make our house look better, whatever it is. We're always doing this with ourselves, a self-improvement project. So many times when we want to find out about the nature of our being, we're sure that's more of the self-improvement project. So we're going to go somewhere where we're going to be told that we have to improve. It's a great relief to know that no improvement is necessary. Nothing needs to be done. The greatest saint and the greatest sinner are equal in awareness. In the next moment, the greatest saint and the greatest sinner, awareness is an equal opportunity. It's the true equal opportunity program. If you're in this room and you've done all kinds of horrible things in your life, or you're in this room and you're just a paragon of virtue, a great saintly being, the next moment is equal for everyone. It undoes everything that's gone before. This is true interconnectedness. To live a life permeated with self-criticism can't help but lead to criticism of others. That's just the way it is. To gain familiarity with the awareness that is at the basis of everything gently relieves us of that self-criticism. We come into the holy positive goodness of our own being. And as we do so, we just feel that same gentleness and kindness with other people too. Because we just see that other people are just like us. No matter what happens, there are only two choices. One is to rest in awareness, and the other is to perpetuate the story of appearances. That's it. And whether the appearances are mundane or they're conceived to be special, like living in Bakersfield, California, and working at an oil changing shop, or living in India, an ashram, and committing one's entire life to renunciation. In either situation, there is an equal opportunity to realize the nature of one's own being. Nothing needs to change. no matter how you're living now, just rest in awareness. If you feel overwhelmed by the compulsion to do certain things, and you've never been able to stop doing those things, whatever they are, when they appear, rest in awareness. Therein is the power that overcomes all obstacles, all hindrances, no matter what they are, and reveals an exaltation beyond imagination. Something about yourself that can never be described. Have the best laugh you've ever had. Any other questions that people would like to ask or statements anyone would like to make?
I understand, and I think this is kind of interesting because it sounds like pretty new and attainable. So the practice or non-practice, because it's so natural to a human being, is the time that you are angry or some intolerant towards something, what you do is that you bring the mind and you surrender to the fact. Always awareness. So when you say rest, it's the same as surrendering, correct? Rest in awareness.
Rest in awareness. It could be called surrendering.
Because we have been trained about surrendering, so.
You can call it whatever you
okay.
want.
Okay, so the practice is just the acknowledgement that it's already there. We are it. So every time the mind strays, all we have to do is bring it to that stage and to acknowledge that we are in it.
That's what resting and awareness is. And awareness isn't something you have to get and hoard and then hold on to and keep. It's self-kept by your growing familiarity with it.
And the more we do that, the more it grows.
Exactly. The more its obviousness is clear. It already is, so it's never really growing. It's in the acknowledgement of it, its obviousness becomes more and more apparent in all situations. Because today, you have all kinds of points of view that appear within the all-encompassing peer view of your awareness. They're all entirely circumstantial. Tomorrow, you'll have another set of points of view, who knows what they'll be, and on and on and on throughout your life. So whatever they are, whatever those appearances might be, awareness simply is. First, there's the introduction to awareness. So you were able to sit here and really understand this about yourself and how natural it is. And how easeful it is. And you now know what to rest as, what to rest in. Also, you need to make a commitment to it, a 100% commitment, not just a little commitment, or I'll try it some days and not others. A 100% commitment is the easiest. Because then there's never any thinking about it. You've already made your understanding commitment. And then in resting in awareness, confidence grows, indwelling confidence that no matter what appears, you feel well-being. There's just the innate, the inherent well-being of awareness. And based upon that confidence, certainty develops, absolute certainty, in all situations without impediment, no matter what they might be. Just like you said, well, this really seems like something I could do. Yeah.
These 2 hours of deep meditation a day.
Japa
and that and that and that.
Uh-huh. Well, now, yeah, there's nothing wrong with meditation. Whatever your lifestyle is and whatever you feel comfortable with, that's great. That's perfect. If you like the meditation, that's part of your lifestyle, and you have certain practices you do, nothing needs to change. But if you don't, nothing needs to change either. It's just that, you know, meditation is of two kinds. One is focusing on something, or focusing on nothing, but focusing on something and focusing on nothing are both focusing on something. Do you see what I'm saying? And so we're not trying to get into a thought-free state or any state. We're not trying to get into emptiness or bliss or clarity or anything that we desperately need to cling to like a life raft. We're not trying to get into any state. So, you know, that's one kind of meditation. The non-meditation of rest and awareness is pervasive throughout day and night. And it does not have an object or a subject. So it doesn't have a focus of attention, like watching a candle flame or watching the breath or whatever it is. However, if you're watching a candle flame or watching your breath or whatever it is, just know that that's all a point of view, too. If you enjoy that, you like to do it, go right on doing it. Nothing needs to be any different for you. You don't need to make any radical changes. You don't need to leave the situation you're in and find a new one in order to rest in awareness. If any changes need to come about, they'll come about naturally, effortlessly, and with ease.
So in that case, what determines how fast or slow the evolution of that thing naturally in awareness will come about? What will be that speed, let us say, of the evolution process of that thing naturally in awareness? What will determine this speed process?
Your own commitment. That's it.
No external. It's like meditation you were talking about.
Oh, no. No. In this room, there are people many people who are already resting in awareness, and people from very diverse backgrounds. So everyone from people who came here and no one else wanted to see him when they came here. So it was like, go away. Then don't come back. Please, we never want to see you again. And then from someone like that to someone else, maybe that everyone wants to see. So it doesn't matter. The commitment is the same. The commitment is just to resting in awareness. Now, for some people, this is very easy. But it is only easy for one type of person, and that is a person with great openness who does not need to rely on conceptual frameworks. Now within each of us, we have that openness. When we've spent decades of our lives relying on conceptual frameworks to identify ourselves, then if we really need that in order to feel like we are somebody, it may be more difficult for us to rest in awareness. However, it doesn't matter. Just by the commitment to it, if awareness will become more and more obvious. And the Great Freedom Teaching offers every possible support for resting in awareness. We have a worldwide 24/7 support system for everyone resting in awareness. We have beautiful teachings that support resting in awareness. They all say exactly the same thing, every single one of the teachings, but they say exactly the same thing in about a billion different ways. Ways that so enrich and soothe our being that it's a true balm. We all hear all the time that who we are is already present. Is there anyone here who hasn't heard that before today? Not anyone. So what's already present, it isn't hard work. See, that goes together. That's discernment. To be able to see that, that's to be discerning, to be able to discriminate what's true from what's false. What's already present, it has to be easily accessible. Now, it's so easily accessible that for me, I never had any kind of training, or I didn't live in an ashram. I don't think I even knew the word ashram 25 years ago, and I had never met a guru. If someone had asked me what non-duality was, I would have been stumped. I've been a Catholic, and there were some things I liked about that and other things I didn't. What I really liked about it was the love. I knew that that's what was being talked about. And I really liked the devotional resonance. You know that thing you can't really describe, but you just know it's right? I really liked that too. And then I got into a situation in my own life where everything I'd learned, it wasn't supporting me. So what I'd learned about philosophy, psychology, religion, and I had learned a lot, it in no way supported me. It could in no way respond to these problems that were coming up for me. Experiences in my life and then my mental and emotional response to those experiences. And I felt completely hopeless and powerless, and no matter what I'd used to try to take the edge off, nothing took the edge off anymore. Not good food or fine wine and plenty of it, or this will pass. It's just part of life. And when they said that, I thought they meant that things would get better. But they didn't. They did pass, but they got worse. And then in the storm of confusion of thoughts and emotions, I suddenly realized that all these thoughts and emotions had the same underlying basis, exactly the same underlying basis. And I had no idea what it was or what to call it. But when I just rested in that relief, it just felt like complete relief, like the complete relaxation of my body and mind in the direct encounter with any experience. Just that relief sustained me. And the more I acknowledged that relief and allowed that relief to be the case, the more obvious and evident it became. Until it was evident at all times. And then later I found out that all the so-called practices, that this is really one of the most ancient of all practices. It's referred to as in different philosophies by different names, the King of Samadhi. Raja Samadhi, the royal Samadhi. The word Samadhi simply means concentration. Complete concentration of body and mind in the ground of being. Complete release, complete rest. Complete openness in all experience. This is all that's needed. Is there anyone who would like to share, come up here and share about resting and awareness? Well, some people I've never heard from, so I'm meeting you for the first time, even though you've been involved in the teaching. So how about you, Joe? Joe's volunteered.
I had a little signal I gave her to know when I was ready. It's easy. There was a time when I didn't even like to ask questions in any kind of gathering, because all of the points of view about that, about me and what I was in that space, were so intense. I didn't want to, you know, even be in that space. And now I can still feel a slight echo of that experience moving, but it's very empty. So it doesn't have the spice. It's there, but it doesn't carry any weight. And that's the process or the familiarity that's been coming to me, is that it's the same but different. The same stories keep moving, keep dancing, but without any power. And they become almost comical. And it's a very deep experience that I'm having with this, is the folding in of everything continuously, no matter what it is. It's so, the whole realm which we are experiencing this, or awareness here, it's so delicate and so non-attainable that it just continually folds in on itself. And it makes me giggle when that happens. I may not be explaining it as clear as it needs to be, but it's not something that can be explained. It just, everything, it dissolves. It's almost like one of the beautiful things is the equality in one's past, because as soon as the recognition of awareness arises, everything collapses into a dot, so it has no quality. So it doesn't matter whether you discover this when you're 17 or 60 or whatever you've done to do it, it just goes stink into a tiny little dot. And that's just hilarious. So, thank you.
Thank you.
I was a workaholic in a spiritual sense, but I did almost everything for a few years. Very intense, and it was a very good antidote that supported me and made me feel very comfortable. But when I really needed that, like when I really needed this support, when I kind of collapsed to a very serious point of view about 5 months ago, it didn't help at all. At all, even. And I never thought I'd get like this. And so nothing helped, so I ran away to India. And there was a very powerful point of view to maybe even finish this story. But in that point, everything went, and it was just all this beautiful resting. But there's still many things to rest as. And then, by accident, actually 3 days before I came here, I said, I would really like to meet a good non-dualistic teacher. And then by accident I came here, and the day after I said, of course I'm doing the soul inquiries. It was so, like, amazing. So much grace. And I met Jan and Kathy and Ellen and Adrian. And I did the 12 inquiries, and life has definitely changed. And nothing can touch awareness, but all is awareness. And even when points of view come, they're just very soft and very gentle and very friendly and very good. They're just awareness thing, like I said, come on, wake up, come on, you want to? And I'm so grateful to Candace and to all the other teachers that met me with this teaching, and from that point I'm just going to people and say, hey man, you need to come to this meeting. And I'm really, really feel the benefit of wanting to share and to give, and it's just beautiful.
Thank
you very much.
Marcia?
So many
volunteers. The queue is forming.
Yeah. Well, I can start off by saying I've been 30 years in India, and I think I looked for a teacher from my childhood. finally, when I reached India, I had a guru, but it was just a guru that kind of put you on the correct path, and it was very comfortable and full of devotion. And then a stage came where I wanted to get more towards the non-dual, and I came up to Rishikesh and met different saints here, and I think by nature I'm a little lazy, so I never really liked meditation. Devotion was much easier than the meditation part. But naturally I had an inclination also towards the non-dual, so I was battling between the two. And finally, I had a guru here, who I did service to, and things began to crumble there also, and life came to a very difficult juncture. And just at that time, I heard about Candace, and I came here, and immediately, as you just had the experience today, there was that soothing balm, and every bit of truth just went directly to the heart. You just knew that you'd found what you've been looking for all of life. I'm not a public speaker. The only time I've ever spoken in public was the kids this big, you know. So it's the first time I've And the practice, as Candace promises you, is so easy. Forgetfulness is also very easy. So when it comes, it comes, and you experience something that is so natural, and you wonder how the world could have, you know, blindfolded you for so long, because it's so simple, it's so straightforward. But forgetfulness is also there. So as much as you remember, you always have this wonderful freedom that comes over you. And everything looks fine. Right. But it takes commitment, for sure.
All appearances, no matter what they are like a mirage, like a hologram. The appearance of there being a somebody, an I, who is an individual identity, the doer and the done, both of these appearances are mirage-like, hologram-like by nature. Now, as we know, one hologram cannot affect another hologram in any way. Nor can mirages, no matter how they're arranged or rearranged, ever come to anything solid in its own way. All appearances are like this. They have no independent origin. They have no existence in their own right. All of them, no matter what they are vivid appearances of the basic space of awareness and nothing else. Just rest. Rest is best. Don't look for antidotes in a mirage. nothing that needs to be done about anything. The spontaneous expression of wisdom as a response to life situations appears naturally in resting as awareness. Are there any other questions, or is there anyone else who would like to share? Swami Atmananda, would you like to share? Is there anyone here who lives in an ashram who would like to share? We'd like to hear from all voices.
Yes, I live in Shivananda Ashram, and I've been practicing for many years. And when I first came to Great Freedom, I've been looking into many, many non-dual teachings, and I felt that I was right on the edge. That it was almost like I'd be getting visions of something, and then they were turned away. So there was like glimpses. I could never quite catch hold of it. And then this simple message, it just everything fell into place. But it was interesting, because that didn't mean that, you know, everything is just cleared up in one fell swoop. The commitment is everything. And what I found, that I came to Great Freedom in February, I think, last year. And so, I had the most fantastic summer that I've ever had. So I'm just resting, and everything is beautiful, everything is wonderful. Candice allowed me to help with some of the teaching. I did some teaching with Jochen, and it was just fantastic. Then some really heavy points of view came up, and the outside circumstances seemed to just, I don't know, it was like an avalanche. You talk about an avalanche sometimes. It was like an avalanche of stuff, and it's actually still going on now. But the interesting thing is that there is an underlying peace with all of this. And I'm very confident. I don't know why, I'm very, very confident that all of this stuff is no problem. But it's there. It's all there. And it's actually not so easy. But it's okay also.
Mm-hmm.
So really I just wanted to speak to say this practice is the ultimate practice. It works perfectly, even under very, very difficult circumstances. I mean, some people in the ashram have actually, you know, they certainly haven't noticed that I'm under any pressure, you know. So I know that it the outward show is fine, and the inward feeling is also fine. So, yeah, rest is best.
Thank you. A couple of the people who shared mentioned that they've been involved in practices where they had neutralized different points of view in their life that had been problematic for them, and felt some comfort and ease due to having done so. Resting in awareness is not a process of neutralization. It's not an antidote to points of view. It is the complete resolution of points of view. So the points of view, whatever they are exhausted in their own basic space. There are no longer two. resting in awareness is not like a cat watching a mouse, awareness watching all the mouse-like points of view. Resting in awareness is the simple, everyday ordinariness of complete perceptual openness in all experience with no separation into this or that. And this is found simply in the complete relaxation of body and mind. Thank you for coming today.